right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I'm going to continue with this. Donald Trump has promised a huge increase in defense spending for new equipment so the Navy will not be rendered toothless. Half of its carriers and destroyers are now dangerously radioactive, but if current policy holds, these damaged goods will soon be sold off as scrap metal to South Korean and Taiwanese shipyards, eliminating any residual evidence of high treason. Shinzo Abe and Trump will emerge as victors over totalitarianism, much like Stalin and Roosevelt at Yalta. Since the media applause will be thunderous, drowning out any and all critics, I am compelled to quietly write this near-term history in advance. The Japanese government is eager to oblige in the elimination of the seaborne evidence, since it was the reactors at Fukushima that hold liability for irradiating dozens of American warships and their crews. Tokyo has been obligated to the American side to sink the USS Ronald Reagan ever since the Japanese authorities failed to issue a warning about the weapons-grade plutonium that was released during Reactor 3 meltdown in mid-March of 2011. The unrepentant, revengeous Abe, in any case, will relish the coming spectacle with a hearty banzai to avenge the Imperial fleets lost at the Battle of Midway and in the Coral Sea. The retreat of the USS Ronald Reagan from the coast of Sendai was a memorable event worthy of a disaster movie, as the helicopters delivering aid to the tsunami survivors raced back to the carrier after weapons-grade plutonium in the air set off their isotope-detecting Geiger counters. Now, at the time, the U.S. commanders were not clued into the fact that the mixed oxide fuel that Fukushima was involved in plutonium production for secret underground warhead facilities in nearby Hirono and Harumachi, their understandable assumption was that a foreign power had exploded a hydrogen bomb over Fukushima. And so the good ship Reagan made a U-turn and fled to the open sea. But sadly, too late, since its air vents were by then heavily irradiated. And unbeknownst to the captain and crew was that the carrier's desalination system was filling up with radioactive seawater flushed out of the Fukushima No. 1 plant's cooling system. Every cup of coffee, every shower, and any food boiled in water was lethal for the crew members. A consequent flurry of odd cancers, miscarriages, and defects in newborns motivated many of the crew members to file a lawsuit against the U.S. Navy for failing to alert them to the radioactivity threat and not decontaminating the ship. Instead of admitting the mistake, the Pentagon has stonewalled the victims. After its return to San Diego, the USS Ronald Reagan was towed into the Bremerton Naval Shipyard in Puget Sound, where all its innards, from venting and pipes to electronics and computers, were stripped out, piled aboard a train, and dumped at the Hanford nuclear site. The Hulk was then towed back to San Diego, where it idled until its internal systems were patched together into a semblance of battle readiness, built at a cost of $6 billion. The USS Ronald Reagan is overdue for scuttling, and unfortunately, the crew with it. The carrier USS George Washington, which retreated before reaching Fukushima for the Operation Tomodachi, or the Friend Relief Effort, was pulled out of its home port of Yokosuka and is now sitting in a Virginia dockyard, supposedly for nuclear fuel replacement. The clueless admirals left out of the loop by the Department of Energy about the continuing threat gushing from Fukushima unwisely allowed the supercarrier USS Nimitz to patrol off the China coast and then sail home along the North Pacific Current. The conveyor belt for radioactive releases from Fukushima to the American coastline. It, too, ended up at Bremerton Shipyard for a year and has since been parked in Everett, Washington State, under showers of radioactive rainfall. Meanwhile, the carrier Carl Vinson was in the Arabian Sea, where the body double of Osama bin Laden was laid on its flat-top deck and unceremoniously tossed overboard in a supposed Islamic burial. Under Muslim customs, believers' bodies are laid in proper graves in expectation of the second coming. But presumably Obama, version 2, knows how to snorkel and swim on the day of reckoning. Then the Navy made the fatal decision to send the Vincent to the Philippines, just in time to be hit by high-level nuclear waste aboard barges sunk by the Japanese into the Philippine Trench. At the time of writing, Easter Sunday, 2017, which is just, what, last week, the three aircraft carriers are plying their ways from Australia, San Diego, and Hawaii toward Davy Jones Locker. The American sailors will soon reenact the destruction of the Russian Tsar's Baltic fleet at the entrance of the Japan Sea in the Battle of Tsushima. My grandfather, in his youth, celebrated that stunning victory, so why am I already mourning the coming slaughter at sea when the sailors, pilots, and Marines are already doomed by radioactive exposure? I suppose it is more heroic to die from friendly fire than to waste away inside a veterans hospital. And better for the bottom line and big investors. Just ask the shrewd Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin of Goldman Sachs. Now, I will say this, folks. This gentleman writing this is a Japanese writer. I'm not saying this is true or not, but I will tell you this. With what I have seen, I would not rule this out. Be open to your opinions on it. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Let's go to Bruce in Texas. You're on with Michael. Bruce, how you doing?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Herzog.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Good. Yeah, I want to touch real quick on the topic you just mentioned. This touches close to home. My daughter was serving on the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
And they had just departed. They were just relieved by Ronald Reagan 2 days prior to Fukushima. And I met the ship in San Diego and sailed up to their home port in Washington with it. And it just gets me this day that by 2 days, there, give or take, she could have been radiated with that Fukushima radiation, you know. And that each ship has a publication. The Abe Lincoln's publication online was called the Penny Press. And there were pictures there of the crew members of the Ronald Reagan scrubbing down the entire aircraft carrier and the aircraft and everything with the soapy water, all smiling and joking about like it was just a regular cleanup day. And just wonder how many of those sailors are dead or sick or have had, you know, infants born with deformities. You know, it's pretty disgusting.
Well, I'll tell you what it brings to mind with me, Bruce, is that I don't know. There's some things about that article that was written that I know are true, you know, like the docking of those carriers and so forth. I don't know that that's what they're going to do, but what it brings to mind is something that I have seen them do in two cases, actually three, but I'll just name two, is the Oklahoma City bombing, okay, and also 9/11. The aftermath of 9/11, those rescue workers and the people that cleaned up, we know that hundreds if not thousands of those people are either dead or dying. Because I can't remember the lady's name that came out. She was the head of the CDC in New York or something that came out and said the air was safe to breathe and it was safe to work there.
Oh,
a blatant
yeah.
lie.
Governor,
it was a blatant lie.
Was.
What's that?
Yes.
What was her name?
Was it Christine Whitman?
It might have been. I don't want to say because I don't remember. I'd have to go dig and look it up. But my point is that they said that the air was safe to breathe. And then ultimately, after the fact, you know, even to this day, people are dying of cancers, really strange cancers, from breathing the air from whatever it was they dropped there or the laser beams or whatever happened. So what I'm saying is I don't rule this out. Obviously, if those carriers, which evidently they were involved in that Fukushima disaster and the rescue attempts and, you know, that sort of thing, then yes, there is severe radiation that could have been on that ship or all those ships.
And they're just like the World Trade Centers with their asbestos problem. You know, they're giant liabilities.
Right. You know? To scuttle those ships would cost billions of dollars. And so, you know, it would be much easier for them, and I hate to say this, and I would hope it would never happen, but yes, in economics and also, you know, it would be easier for them to just let it happen, pull a false flag on it, blame North Korea, and then attack North Korea, okay?
And that's their modus operandi. I mean, look at, you know, 9/11, just, if you understand 9/11, you understand that this is a completely plausible scenario.
Right, but also, you know, you look at it in the context of why they're doing this. They're backed against the wall. Remember, you know, to do nothing is what I talked about last night, is going to expose their lies. They don't want their lies exposed, and the only way that the magician is going to divert it is cause something so disastrous that people will forget about it, just like they forgot about the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld came out with and announced the day before 9/11. That all went under the rug. So if they do this, all of the lies, all of the deception, all the pedophilia, all this stuff will be swept right under the rug. So do I put it past them? Absolutely not. They are extremely capable of doing it.
Right. The only adjustment or the only question I would have on the author's presumptions or prediction is the Japanese carrying out the attack on the U.S. fleet. I think it would be an Israeli Dolphin sub. Well, wasn't there some kind of an incident in North Korea back when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State where it was discovered that it was actually a Western torpedo that was launched at one of our vessels or a South Korean vessel?
It could have been. I don't recall. I don't recall, right. But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't put it past our own military to do it. When I'm looking at the actions of General Mad Dog Mattis, when he's coming out and he's adding lie upon lie upon lie, you know, well, we're convinced that, you know, Bashar al-Assad still has, you know, chemical gas. They've already been busted in their lie. And to come out and
totally
to say
dishonorable.
Something. Yeah, and to come out and say something like that, again, you might as well just slap us in the face. You know, we already know you're full of it. And, you know, what does that do to our faith in the in this guy? I was going to say the American government, but this isn't the American government anymore. This government has been hijacked. Okay, this government is being run by a band of criminals, and Donald Trump. I still don't know whether Donald Trump knew about it, whether they set us up, whether he was blackmailed. I don't know. All I know is that this man doesn't have any control. He doesn't. And it's obviously, and it's being played out day by day. So, you know, what Mike Rivera, what I mentioned, I heard that Mike Rivera was talking about on the air today. They're concerned over there. They're looking for, you know, they're storing up food and looking for a place to hide. Because North Korea could hit Hawaii with their missiles. So this is a serious situation. Anyway, I appreciate it. Anything else you got to add?
Yes, real quick. Of all the scenarios I've heard, you know, Trump was playing us all along. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, if he was, he deserves the Academy Award because his persona and it seemed he seemed totally genuine.
I agree.
Throughout the campaign, right. So the point was made. Well, maybe he was blackmailed personally. You know, something in his past or his family was threatened or what have you. I think there's also maybe a third option that maybe the entire country was blackmailed. I mean, sit him down and say, look, if you don't play ball, you're going to be president of the greatest calamity in recent history. The economy of the United States will pull the rug out and the press will blame you nonstop. You'll go down as a pariah and the American people forget about making America great again.
They have a complete arsenal of tools that they could pull. I mean, they can collapse the economy. You know, I mean, there's a hundred things that they could do. But yes, you know, it wouldn't, if you think about it critically, it wouldn't be hard to do. If you put yourself in that situation and you have a family with children and grandchildren and they say, look, you know, we will discredit you, we will impeach you, throw you in prison, we will strip you of everything you own, we will crash the economy and blame it on you. I mean, he knows they're capable of it because they've already been trying to do it. And what he did right. when he went along with this by ordering the missile strike and also still claiming that it was Bashar al-Assad, he's committed a war crime because he did not give that information and let Congress handle it. And he also violated international law. So they've got him by the short and curlies. You know. Right. So the question, what would you do, Bruce, if you were in his position?
It's a tough decision. You know, it's real tough. His demeanor during the Easter address was really strange. You know,
was it? I didn't see that.
You ought to watch it. Well, I mean, he didn't mention Jesus or anything like that. It was more like he's pitching it to the Passover sermon or something. You know.
Well, I tell you, there's
his demeanor was really off. You know.
There's a lady on YouTube that is supposedly she's an expert in body language, and she watches these clips and then she narrates over it as to whether somebody's telling the truth or lying based on their demeanor. So when this show's over, I'm going to go into YouTube and see if I can look up that Easter event and see what she says in analyzing it, because she's pretty good at reading that stuff. I watched the one where Assad was being interviewed on the gas attacks, and her conclusions were, and my conclusions were before her conclusions because I didn't watch it until afterwards, but she said, this guy's not lying. This guy didn't gas his own people.
Oh, of course, you know? Not, yeah.
We're continually being spoon-fed this stuff to divert us because it's just a magician's trick, Bruce. That's all it is.
Right.
Okay. Anything
right.
else? Man?
Do you look for guests at all, or... Are you going to have any prominent guests?
Well, here's my situation right now is that, and you may know this if you've been listening, John put me in here last a week ago Monday, and I've got other commitments that I'm kind of, you know, really busy right now. And I was, when my other commitment is up, I was planning on taking a trip back to Round Rock, getting the guest list and going through that. And yes, the answer is I plan to. I'm not really able to right now to get some of the guests on that I would like to get on because I don't have their contact information. I can bring guests on.
Are you familiar with Jeff Gates?
No, I'm
not. You ever heard of Jeff Gates? Okay,
no,
he's an author. He wrote two books, Criminal State and Guilty by... I can't recall exactly right now the name of the second one. Guilt by Association.
Okay.
And he's a former aide, a senatorial aide or something like that. And he was basically, he used to write for Veterans Today. He basically disappeared for a while. And I'm wondering what happened to him, if he's back on his feet or if he's been done in or what, you know.
Does he have a website or contact information or anything?
He did. It was called Criminal State, blogspot.com, I believe. But it was shut down. So, anyhow, thank you for your work, and I'll let the next caller come up.
Okay. All right. Well, good. No.
All
right. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate the call in. No, you know, as I mentioned to him, folks, at this juncture, yes, I have a number of people that I'm familiar with in the industry that I could bring up. But as far as I can't even find my old lists of guests. It's been, you know, 2-3 years since I've been on the air. 2 years and 5 months or something like that. But I'd planned on taking a trip to Round Rock and getting a hold of John's guest list and sifting through it to to see what I can bring up. Because the truth of the matter is, as I go through here and I start reading some of these articles, some of these people have websites, but they don't put contact information on their – on my website, I have contact information. So if somebody wants to put me up on their show or send me a message or whatever, they can do that. But a lot of these people don't. They don't want other people contacting them, or you have to go through they have an agent, you know. So I just haven't had time to mess with it right now. But, you know, the other thing that I wanted to get into if I had time, which evidently I do, I don't have any callers on the line right now, so I'm going to go here. Yes, I do. No, I'm not taking Fred's call tonight because Fred's going to shift gears and go into something totally different, and I'm not going to do that, Mike, so just tell him, okay? Anyway, we'll be back after the break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, silent salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Before I go any further, I need to share something with you. This is my third time around on Republic Broadcasting Network, and I have had the privilege of meeting some of the hosts over the years, if not in person, that I've talked to them. And I have to say that in doing this, all of these hosts do the best that they can do, and they prepare very diligently. Now, the hosts that I know, they're very, very serious and professional about what they do, and they try to bring you the best information they can based upon their ability. And I have seen it firsthand. I know the preparation that it takes just to put together the show that I put together, and it takes time behind the scenes, folks. And in the case of Mike Rivero, Mike has a 3-hour show, and Mike works very diligently to put together his show and try to bring to you the best information that he can. And I'm going to call it out right now and say, Fred in Michigan, I'm putting you in the penalty box because you called in last night. I always allow you the floor. I always allow you to take up 5 to 10 minutes of airtime. But you made a comment last night that insulted me, and because you insulted one of my fellow colleagues on the network, i.e. Michael Rivero, by calling him Rocky, as in Rocky Raccoon. He doesn't deserve that, okay? He's a very intelligent man, and he's a very diligent worker, okay? So I'm putting you in the penalty box for I don't know how long, but that's the reason I'm not taking your call, Fred. Anyway, let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to imagine how much work Mike Rivero does, and he's not making any kind of a fortune, it doesn't sound like. But that's one of the things that concerned me about Hawaii, is, and that would be the, I don't know why they would do it. It'd be kind of stupid, but just an air pulse. They did that before they did a test ban treaty or something on bursting atomic weapons in the upper atmosphere. There's film of it that they took out the electrical grid in Hawaii testing atomic bombs over the Pacific Ocean way back in the, like the late 50s or something.
Up to this point in time, really, North Korea hasn't harmed anybody. Now, you got to, I don't even know, what is it, this guy's probably, what, 30, 35 years old, this Kim Jong-un, you know, he's just like a kid with a new toy. He hasn't killed anybody. He hasn't hurt anybody. You have to consider what he's doing. Maybe he's just threatening us to keep us from threatening him. I don't know. I think it's stupid. But also, I have to go back to the idea that up till the time that he does something that threatens somebody else or hurts somebody else, we have no business going in there and, you know, making his country into a parking lot. But it's not just North Korea. The South Koreans also are very concerned about that, you know. But yeah,
where's the proof that he's got anything that could fit on one of these missiles? Because if you've ever been to Washington, D.C. or anywhere they've got one of these mock-ups on display of the fat man or the I think they call it, what was the name of the first two bombs, uranium
fat man,
bombs?
Fat man and little boy.
Right. They were huge. They weighed a major, they were almost as big as a Volkswagen, the fat man was, and they weighed huge amounts, and it took a lot of fuel to make them, and so they had to be delivered by, you know, these strato bombers, or what, I can't remember the name of them.
The
B-29 strato bomber, or whatever they call it, because they could fly in a stratosphere.
Strato Fortress,
yeah. And that was the only thing it could carry. It was so heavy.
Right.
They dropped it from such an altitude that they could get away from the shockwave, you know. It's Kim Jong, and that's the thing, that all this stuff over Iran, all this stuff about, oh, Iran's going to 18 months, 24 months away from a nuclear war. Where is the headline that says Iran can now enrich uranium 90% to make a uranium bomb? Or where is the headline that says Iran has 10,000 cascading centrifuges, one into another? But that, it takes the messes that we have created to make all these nuclear weapons will probably never be cleaned up. Paducah Gaseous Diffusion Plant here in Kentucky, up in Ohio.
Okay, I got to stop you, Mike. I'll hold you over, but we're going to the bottom of the hour break, so stick around. We'll be back in three, okay?
Yeah.
I'll let you finish up on the other side.
Oh, thanks.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. All right, let's go back to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, close us out. Go ahead.
Well, one point I was getting at is that the and Oppenheimer lost his security clearance in protest of after he was brought. It was brought to his attention that places like Oak Ridge were not being built just to end World War II. That they were gearing up for building absolutely thousands, if not tens of thousands, of things, bombs, and then they, you know, the propaganda about the bomber gap and then the missile gap. It you know, that is part of what I think had Eisenhower so alarmed at the rate of growth and the propaganda coming out of the military-industrial complex. And of course, now we have the pharmaceutical lobby four times bigger
than the military-industrial complex. So it makes me want to stop drinking government water right there. What are they putting in the water to get everybody to go along with this junk? And why is the Russians not using what they've got to expose the deceptions that are coming at the American people? I mean, you would think.
Well, let me stop you there and answer your question on that. I think probably the reasons why the Russians wouldn't do it is because, first of all, the American media would just put a spin on. I think what the Russians are, you know, they're probably just saying it's not worth their time because they've already
making money. They're making money off the U.S. I mean, look what happened with the Russian oligarchs making the deals with the Hillary and 11 other agencies in our government went along with them, now controlling 20% of our uranium output.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
And
answer your question about what they're putting in the water. On my website, theamericanawakening.org, if you go into videos, my daughter and I did a pretty complete expose on what they're putting in the water. It's not just fluoride. It's hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Screws up your bowel bugs. And that, they've known for like 15 years or longer that your second brain is your gut. So if you mess up the bacteria and the flora in your gut, you're going to mess up the brain.
It sounds like you've been listening to Dr. Group.
a lot of osteopaths and stuff have brought this out, and there's more brain chemistry produced in a healthy gut than there is in your brain. So you're not fully awake if your brain's not producing if your gut's not producing serotonin. It kind of dulls your senses and your reflexes and makes you more suggestible.
I'm sure that's true. I mean, and I was just kidding you about Dr. Group because, you know, for, I don't know, about 6 months, I was listening to Jones every day, and Dr. Group would come on there a couple times a month and talk about, you know, the intestinal cleanse. And I have to tell you, you know, I'm not a real big fan of Alex Jones behind the scenes, but I have bought
him. On Alex Jones. He got to where he was yelling to the point where losing his voice. I couldn't listen to him anymore about 10, 12, 13 years ago. I gave up on him when they split with John Stadtmiller. And whatever happened to the old Republic Radio, which I think gave Alex Jones a bit of a break or a boost from his public access television effort. But he's still got, for several years, 8 or 9 years, he's on a... essentially a pirate radio station that never had a license, bouncing around in Austin, Texas. It's like 8,000 watts, and somehow it's connected to the sheriff's department. I mean, Alex Jones is an interesting character.
Are you talking about down in Fredericksburg, Mike?
From what I heard, it was connected with the... What's the county that Austin is in?
Oh, Travis. Wait a minute. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the pirate station... The pirate station was being operated by Mike Jones. That's the guy that I stayed with down in Fredericksburg. But he had a house in Austin, and he was running that pirate.
How is he connected to the sheriff?
That's a good question. I don't know. I had been to his house in Phoenix, or not Phoenix, but in Austin, and I had seen that radio. I had been in there, in the house, saw the radio station. I didn't know it was connected in any way to the sheriff, but
property. It was on a sheriff's a property that belonged to the sheriff somehow, is what I had heard, and they moved it from one to another when the FCC, when they got word the FCC was coming, they just shut it down and moved it. And, of course, they have to do all new measurements and figure out what the watts per meter is and all that before they can issue a notice of unlicensed broadcast, you know. So by moving it, they create paperwork problems. As from what I understand, it's been being moved around for almost a decade in that county.
Well, I tell you what, Mike Jones moved out of Texas in 2000, I believe it was 2009, so that was 8 years ago.
My contacts say there's a lot of outlaw radio going on in Texas right now, with minority stations broadcasting ridiculous amounts of wattage above what they were licensed for and causing all kinds of interference. Chinese and Mexican or Spanish language stations and even TV stations that are broadcasting ridiculous amounts of, you know, they'd be licensed for 1,800 watts and they're broadcasting 30,000 watts or something, causing all kinds of interference.
That wouldn't surprise me. When I was on RBN back in 2007, 2008, they were broadcasting John, I think they're broadcasting John out of Austin on that pirate station, and they were broadcasting me out of Fredericksburg, which was the pirate station, and Mike Jones was operating that. So however many more there are across the country, I have no idea.
My contacts in Texas are telling me this, but no, the low power stuff, I don't see why anybody, the power bill and stuff for something that's like 80 watts, and you're going to give the most efficient footprint for that if you've got a decent antenna height. I noticed that a few years ago that nobody's talking about doing low power community radio anymore, 60, 80 watts, something like that would be reasonable and would probably not even get reported or even interfere with any licensed broadcasters. But I know.
Well, I'll tell you this much, and I'll tell you a funny story. Some of you may have heard this. When John and I were on our way back from taking Randy Weaver up to Plainfield, we were going through, I think it was Tennessee, in the mountains, the hills of Tennessee. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and John's out cold in the back seat. He's sleeping, and I'm driving. I had to go to the bathroom. So I pulled into this rest stop, and I walked in to go to the bathroom, and I said hello to one of the girls that was – there was some girl in there, and I said, hi, how you doing? And she said – she looked at me for a minute. She says, you're Michael Herzog. And I said, how did you know that? And she says, because you're on the radio right now. I recognize your voice. And so she says, come here. So she walked me into this – I don't know, it was a storage room or something. Sure enough, they were broadcasting RBN. And so I said – so we got to talking, and she said, I said, what's your favorite show on the network? She said, John Statmiller. And I said, well, he's out in the car.
Had to go wake him up, huh?
Yeah, I went out and woke him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. His hair's all disheveled, his eyes.
Give me my autograph.
Yeah, give me my autograph.
Hey,
grab my husband.
The reason I bring this up is we've got such an Internet of Things going on now. If you want to be able to not get your Fusion Center file and your Bluffdale file augmented for listening to this type of stuff, the free-to-air satellites can bring down a signal that's not connected to the web in any way, and then you can put it out on a neighborhood radio station, and people that are tech-savvy enough can listen to it without it be connected to the Internet, and they don't get their they're not profiled through, the FBI and the NSA or whatever, as long as they're smart enough not to have a phone in the room with them or in their work shed or something like that. And that's everything you do on the Internet's watched.
This has been going on for a long time. I remember I had, what was his name, Larry Sinclair. Remember the guy that accused Barack Obama of being a homosexual originally back during his first campaign? Do you remember that guy?
Barely. I mean, there's just so much noise.
Well, anyway, I had Larry Sinclair on my show one day, and, you could go in the back end of a website and see who's hitting it. And we get hit, for the FBI every day or the NSA every day. And usually it's 2 or 3 times a day. That show that I did with Larry Sinclair, I think I had him on for an hour, and I had 13 hits from all the way from the NSA, the FBI, Barack Obama's campaign headquarters, the Israeli Mossad. Everybody was hitting that site, And so as soon as I saw that, I said I knew Larry Sinclair was telling the truth. But he's the guy that accused Barack Obama of having an illicit affair with him homosexually in Chicago, and smoking crack.
No big surprise there.
Yeah,
no big
I know.
Surprise there, I think. But anyway, Google Home now can recognize something like 6 different people's voices, and that's in that little, thing that sits in your home. So there's no telling. I mean, William Binney talks about beginning to work on that sort of stuff in the mid-1980s. So all of our voice prints are cataloging or automatically being sorted and pigeonholed and cataloged so that all known associates of any individual
that's so they can come and get us later, Mike, when the time is right.
If you and I are actually on the roundup list, I'd say we're on the red list to be taken care of. We ain't gonna be in no camp.
Oh, I know.
I don't think we'll make it to a camp.
Yeah, well, that's
I'll
if
let
we
you
survive.
Go, man. I'll talk all night if I'm not careful.
Okay, thanks for calling in. All right, I'm gonna take a few. I'm not gonna read this whole article, but I want to remind everybody, and this is what I really want to remind Donald Trump, is that. You're talking when you're talking these political entities. They're talking about bombing, whether it be Syria or North Korea or wherever it is they're bombing. There's people over there. There's people over there, just like there's people over here. And those people over there, just like the people over here, have no control over what their government is doing. They're no different than the mesmerized, mind-numb, you know, mainstream Kool-Aid drinking people that live in our country. And, you know, they're innocent people. And so you start dropping bombs over there, launching missiles over there, and the blood's on your hands. Anyway, there's an article out by Andrei Vilcek, and it comes, this is from his perspective, and I'll just share a little bit of it with you. He says, when I think about North Korea, what first comes to my mind is a mist over the calm and majestic surface of the Taedong River near Pyongyang. Next, I always recall two lovers locked in a tender and almost desperate embrace, sitting side by side on the shore. I saw them every day while taking brisk walks at dawn. Now, I don't know for sure whether they were real or just a product of my fantasy, a sad and gentle reminder of all that has been already lost, as well as all that should have happened but never really materialized. Currently, as Donald Trump's armada is speeding towards China, and I guess it's DPRK or Dubrovnik, maybe, I keep calling these moments the cliff, the lovers, and the lone fisherman with his long rod at the other side of the river. Everything in my memory connected to those dawns is now motionless and serene. Sometimes I wonder whether words still have the power they once used to have. And in the past, a beautiful poem, a confession, or a declaration of love were capable of changing one's entire life, and sometimes even the entire destiny of a nation. But is this still the case in this time and age? As a writer, I often feel futility and even despair. Still, as an internationalist, I refuse to succumb to pessimism, and I try to use words as my weapons again and again. I have already said a lot about North Korea. I have shown images. I have spoken about the unimaginable pain this country has had to endure. I have spoken broadly about its tremendous gesture of helping to liberate and then to educate so many parts of the world, including the enormous and devastated continent of Africa. Still, the propaganda against the people of Dubrovnik rules. Let me try again, let me try again, let me try again and again. North Korea is a beautiful country, inhabited by human beings, with blood circulating through their veins. And despite what you are directly and indirectly told, these people feel pain, and they are capable of experiencing great joy. Like others, they often dream, fall in love, and suffer when being insulted or betrayed or abandoned. They laugh and cry. They hold hands. They get angry. Even desperate. They have great hopes for a better life, and they work very hard in trying to build their future. So listen well, manager or supervisor, or what you yourself call the free world, or how should I call you, president? Okay, fine, President. If you shoot your Tomahawk missiles at them, at DPRK, as you recently did at Syria, or if you drop your bloody mother-of-all bombs on them, as you just did on some godforsaken hamlet in Afghanistan, just in order to demonstrate your spite and destructive force, their bodies will be torn to pieces. People will die in tremendous agony. Wives will be howling in despair, burying their husbands. Grandparents will be forced to cover the dead bodies of their tiny grandchildren, and white sheets and entire neighborhoods and villages will cease to exist. And, of course, you people do it everywhere. You think that you are the masters of the world. So, used to spreading agony and desolation all over the world, but let me remind you one more time and put it on the record. It may all look fine, some fun-to-play computer game or a TV show, but it is not. It is all real. When your S with a hit hits the targets, it's damn real. I've seen plenty of it, and I've had really enough. I know this is not what you have been told, and this is not what you tell others. North Koreans are supposed to look and behave like a nation of brainless robots, lacking all basic emotions and individuality, staring forward without seeing much, unable to feel pain, compassion, or love. You don't want to see the truth. The reality, and you don't want others to be blind as well. Even if you blow the entire DPRK to pieces, you'll actually not see much anyway. You'll see almost nothing, just your own missiles shooting from battleships and submarines, your own airplanes taking off from aircraft carriers, as well as some computer-generated images of powerful explosions. No pain, no reality, and no agony. Nothing will get to you. Nothing will reach you and your citizens. It is you who is blind. It is not they. You actually like it, don't you? Admit you do. Let's have it all out in the open. and many citizens in the West like it as well. New, titillating experiences, free entertainment, and a welcome break from the dire and empty, gray and loveless and meaningless routines of daily life in both North America and Europe. Hundreds of millions glued to their TV screens. Your popularity is going down lately, isn't it? The more missiles you shoot, the more bombs you drop, and the more countries you intimidate and confront, the broader your support base gets. You are a businessman, after all. The trade, the deal is simple, easy to grasp. You give to the majority of your people what they desire, and they give you support and admiration. True, isn't it? If stripped of all that political correctness. The psychologist Jung called this culture pathological. It has already destroyed basically all continents on Earth. It is now perhaps attempting to finish what is left of the world. Still, you ought to know and understand and should be fully aware of the following. You might now get some generous endorsement from your fellow mentally ill citizens, but if you blow up the DPRK or any other country on Earth, sky high, and if we, as the planet Earth, still somehow manage to survive, you and your culture will be cursed for centuries and millennia to come. Think about it. Is it really worth it? Perhaps you don't give a damn. Most likely you don't. Still, give it a try. Try to think and try to imagine. You will go down in history as a degenerate mass murderer and bigot. 3 years ago, this is how I described the 60th anniversary of the Victory Day in DPRK. The brass band began to play yet another military tune. I zoom on an old lady, her chest decorated with medals. As I get ready to press the shutter, two large tears began rolling down her cheeks, and suddenly I realize that I cannot photograph her. I really cannot. Her face is all wrinkled, and yet it is both youthful and endlessly tender. Here is my face, I think, the face I was looking for all those days, and yet I cannot even press a shutter on my Lycia. Then something squeezes my throat, and I have to search in my equipment bag for some tissue, as my glasses get foggy, and for a short time I cannot see anything at all. I sob loudly, just once. Nobody can hear, because of the loud playing of the band. Later I get closer to her, and I bow, and she reciprocates. We make our separate peace in the middle of the boiling hot main square. I am suddenly happy to be here. We have both lost something. She lost more. I was certain she lost at least half of her loved ones in the carnage of those bygone years. I lost something, too. And now I also lost all respect and belonging to the culture that is still ruling the world. The culture that was once mine, but the culture that is still robbing people of their faces and then burns their bodies with napalm and flames. It is the 60th anniversary of Victory Day at DPRK. The anniversary marked by tears, gray hair, tremendous fireworks, parades, and the memories of fire. That evening, after returning to the capital, I finally made it to the river. It was covered by a gentle but impenetrable fog. There were two lovers sitting by the shore, motionless and silent embrace. The woman's hair was gently falling on her lover's shoulder. He was holding her hand reverently. I was going to lift my big professional camera, but then I stopped, abruptly. All of a sudden, too afraid that what my eyes were seeing or my brain imagining would not be reflected in the viewfinder. This is how I still remember the event. That penned by an internationalist who gave up his home, left, and has never returned. This is what we face, folks, because like it or not, even though we are not directly connected, they are a reflection of us. And the way the world will see it is that why didn't we do something? Why did we let it happen? That's why the people on this network, I heard John say it today, I've heard Mike say it, you've heard me say it, is that we have to do something. It's up to us. The only people, as John said today, that can write this is us. They're not going to do it for us. We put our hopes in Donald Trump. I listened to James Kelso tonight. It sounds to me, I've never met him. He sounds like a relatively young guy. Sounds like he's a pretty good guy. I'm thinking he's got high hopes, and I can't blame him for that. Let's see, he sounds like a young guy. Mike just sent me a Skype message. He says he's over 70 years old. Why, he's older than me. I thought I was the oldest guy on the network. Okay. Anyway, he's got high hopes for Donald Trump. But as I said before, I look at actions and not words. And the actions that I'm seeing a guy that I campaigned for him. I followed him through the campaigns. I watched those great big rallies. I was amazed at all the tens of thousands of people that he was pulling in. People just like you, just like me. People that had high hopes. People who really put their faith in and thought he could do something. Maybe the deep state's just too big for anybody, folks. Maybe he got in there and realized that the promises that he made regarding non-intervention in foreign lands just wasn't going to work. Maybe, as I said last night, maybe they came to him and said, Donald, you know, you're worth $5 billion or whatever, and all your money is going to be gone and all your buildings are going to be gone if you don't play ball. Maybe, and I didn't say this last night, maybe the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers offered him $20 or $50 or $100 billion to play along with them. After all they've got to do is flip a switch and the printing press starts. You know, it could be any one of a dozen things or more that they said to him to cause him to go where he's going now. Do you think we can turn it around? Do you think he will turn it around? I would like to think so. But really, based on past experience watching these people over the past however many years since JFK, I don't think it's possible. And I'll tell you why. And I'm going to lead out of this program with this. As I let in, I read Pat's email this morning on what they did to Richard Nixon, the powers behind the scene. Those same powers are controlling every president since Richard Nixon that has come into office. Those powers haven't gone away. It might be their sons, might be their grandsons, but they're trained as they grow up to continue perpetually what power that they have. And they're not going to give it up lightly, folks. So, that being said, you know, all we can do is keep our fingers crossed, pray, and as we said before, we thought Donald Trump was going to be the guy. He was going to be the, you know, the guy that wasn't going to be intimidated and the guy that was going to drain the swamp. Well, as I said, I think the swamp's too big for him. I think he's been absorbed in the swamp. And I don't know, is there anybody out there that can throw him a rope? I haven't listened to any of these other networks that were pro-Trump other than James Kelso tonight. James wasn't really touching on any of the foreign policy or anything. He was still, you know, it sounded to me like he had high hopes. And that's okay. I would love to have high hopes. I've watched this go on for so long, and I've watched this country recede into what it is now, that I would really love to see something positive happen. One of the downers of this show, and I know that a lot of people on this network experiences this, is that we continually talk about things that are negative. I would love to talk about some things positive. And for a while, we were. For a while, when Donald Trump was doing things domestically that, you know, was trying to keep his campaign promises, we really thought we'd arrived. Hopefully, maybe that can change back. I don't know. But with this thing going on the foreign policy thing and these generals that are in there frothing at the mouth for war, I would give it less than a 50-50 shot. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Don't mean to go off on a rant, but it's Friday night. Have a good weekend, folks, and we'll see you same time Monday. Good night for now.
Without, there's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice, I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right, I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Jim, yes, unfortunately we are. Thank you so much for calling in, Jim, and I'm sorry, but we are now at the end of the broadcast.
I tried to call for Tom, and I didn't get anywhere, but I tried. So,
well, thank you. Just continue to keep try calling. Join us again on Monday, everybody, as always. Thank you very much for listening in. Share our show. Help Tom. Donate to tomlacavera@gmail.com in order to help Lori. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. God bless you and good night.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.